Get on the train, it takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
G'day, I'm Erk, and Gretzky was denied there. It is episode 26 of Erk to the Penalty Box, recapping weeks 12 and 13 of the Australian Ice Hockey League. We are getting towards the end of the regular season. Wasn't here last week. I was day-to-day, but then again, aren't we all? I wouldn't like to call it a lower body injury. I was ill, so I was in doubt for the Canberra Bears game in Canberra, but I made it, so all is good there. So let's recap what I'm going to go into some detail about. Covering the weekends of the 11th and 12th of July, there was a full round there, and then the following weekend, the 18th and 19th of July, there are only three games. So I'm not exactly sure what happened there with the schedule, but there was only three games last weekend as I record this on the 24th of July. And then I'll go ahead and talk about the final games for July. Then we move into August, and by the end of next month, by the end of August, it will be all done. And somebody will be winning the Goodall Cup. So let's go back in brief before I go into some detail. The weekend of the 11th and 12th of July. That weekend, the Bears actually had off, so I didn't see any Bears hockey, although I did go and see a game, Ice Dogs versus Mustangs at Liverpool. So I did see one game of hockey that weekend, and that was good because I didn't have to do any social mediaing or anything like that. So let's go back. On the Saturday, the Ice defeated the Thunder 5-3 in Melbourne. The North Stars defeated the Mustangs 11-3 in Newcastle. And the Adrenaline beat the Brave 11-7 in Adelaide. And those two games there, 11-3 North Stars Mustangs and 11-7 Adrenaline Brave. I remember watching both of those games via Twitter and thinking, what the hell was happening with these games? It was just goal after goal after goal, especially the Adrenaline Brave game with 18 goals between the two teams there. And then things were a bit more normal on the Saturday. The Ice defeated the Thunder 3-2 in a shootout at the Medibank Ice House in Melbourne. The Brave turned things around against the Adrenaline. They won 6-5 in a shootout, so two shootouts there. And the Mustangs came back from 11-3 down against the North Stars the previous day, and they lit up the Ice Dogs 10-1 at Liverpool. And so that was the previous weekend, and then the shortened weekend last weekend, the 18th and 19th of July, the Ice Dogs travelled to Melbourne and the Bears travelled to Canberra. The Brave defeated the Bears 6-3. I was at that game, and I managed to watch the other two games on the streams at a later stage. Mustangs 8-2 over the Ice Dogs, and the next day on the Sunday, the Ice defeated the Mustangs 9-0. And then last night, as I'm recording this, the 4th Melbourne Derby, I almost said the Battle of Melbourne, the 4th Melbourne Derby, the Mustangs winning 6-5 in a shootout against the Melbourne Ice. And so this weekend, to see off the end of July, the Newcastle North Stars head down to Melbourne, and they play the Mustangs on Saturday and the Ice on Sunday. The Ice Thunder game will be the Foxtel game of the week. The Bears host the Brave, the only time that the Brave will be at Penrith this year, and the Ice Dogs head across for their series against the Thunder on Saturday and Sunday. That's going to be a long weekend there for the Ice Dogs against the Thunder, one presumes. Now, as it sits at the moment, the competition ladder is all over the place in terms of games played. So I'll talk about the games played in a moment and the wins because the W is important. But let's talk about the total points because that's the most important thing. As it stands right now on the 24th of July, the Melbourne Ice are on top on 43. The North Stars are on 42. The Thunder on 37. And the Brave are on 33. That's your top four at the moment. Ice, North Stars, Thunder and Brave. And then just behind them are the Adelaide Adrenaline on 32, who didn't play last week and don't play this weekend either. Don't know why that is. Don't know why they get 2 weekends off in a row. I know they do a lot of double headers because of their travel commitments and whatnot. It just seems strange to have 2 weekends off in a row. The Bears on 30, the Mustangs staging some sort of late comeback with 24. They're only 6 points behind the Bears, and the Ice Dogs are on 2. They haven't changed their position since the last time we spoke. So, Ice 43, North Stars 42, Thunder 37, Brave 33, Adrenaline 32, Bears 30, Mustangs 24, and Ice Dogs 2. So, even though we don't necessarily know what order the top three are going to be, you'd have to say that Ice, North Stars, and Thunder are in. It'd be very unlucky for either of those teams to miss out at this stage. Don't think that'll be happening. And then the fourth spot, the battle between the Brave, the Adrenaline, and the Bears for fourth spot. And then, even though if you want to mathematically say that the Mustangs and Ice Dogs are still a chance, you can. No. Not happening. Sorry to the Mustangs fans and sorry to the Ice Dogs fans. Not happening. Although the Mustangs, I want to see how close they can get to sixth position. As the current champs, it's obvious they're not going to make the top four, but for their sake, I hope they get as close as they can. In terms of games played, that's all over the place at the moment, between 19 and 22 games out of the 28 game season. The Ice have played 22, the North Stars have played 19, the Thunder have played 19, the Brave have played 22, the Adrenaline have played 21, the Bears and the Mustangs have played 20, and the Ice Dogs have played 19. So let's go ahead and tell you about what's happened in the last couple of weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
Let's hear it for the man behind the wheel.
Let's hear it more about it.
For the Zambonis.
You are listening to Act of the Penalty Box as we talk about the Australian Ice Hockey League in some dry detail for this couple of week period. Let's go back to July 11. The Ice Dogs, we'll talk about them a little bit later. We'll have the Ice and the Thunder at the Medibank Ice House. The Melbourne Ice open the scoring with 4.5 minutes to go in the first period. Mitch Humphries, he's been on the scoreboard a lot lately. 1-0 Melbourne Ice at the end of the first period. Shots on goal favouring the Perth Thunder 12-7. And then Perth Thunder had a couple of power play goals early in the second period to Greg Hyatt and Andrew Cox, making the score 2-1 Thunder. Before 3 minutes after that, the Ice came back to tie the scores 2-2 with a goal to Jeremy Brown, 2-2 at the end of the second. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder 19-8. And then in the third period, it went Ice Thunder, Ice Ice. Tommy Power getting a goal early in the third period to make it 3-2 Ice, and then Kieran Webster for the Thunder equalised a few minutes later to make it 3-3. Mitch Humphreys' power play goal about a minute and a half after that, and then another goal to Mitch Humphreys giving him his hat-trick, and the final score of Ice 5-3, shots at goal favouring the Thunder 14-9. And Melbourne Ice well and truly outshot by the Thunder, but where it counts is in the W column. Thunder had 45 shots at goal to Melbourne Ice 24. Thunder converted 2 out of 5 of their power plays. Melbourne Ice converted the only one of theirs. Let's have a look at the goalie situation. And Alex Leclerc, he got the win, saving 42 out of 45. Mark Guggenberger had the loss, 19 out of 24. And so Leclerc and Pine Murphy have been going backwards and forwards between starting and backing up. And a very close game there. A couple of game misconducts in the first period, towards the end of the first period. Liam Webster for the Ice and Perth Thunder's Brad Young. But apart from that, it wasn't a spectacular game when it came to penalties, but the game on the Sunday, it certainly did. We'll talk more about that when we get to it. What should have been the Fox Sports Game of the Week, but didn't turn out being that way. The Newcastle North Stars hosted the Melbourne Mustangs, and it was always going to be a difficult task for the Mustangs facing the North Stars at home. And the North Stars absolutely lit up the Mustangs 11-3. Having said that, let's talk about the goals. I didn't get to see it. Then again, only the people who are at the rink managed to see this one. The North Stars opened the scoring very early with a Brian Bales goal to the North Stars. And then after that, the North Stars also got a shorthanded goal to Luke Moffat with 6 minutes to go in the first period. That was a shorthanded goal, and then not too long after that, Pat O'Kane scored himself a power play goal to get the Mustangs on the board with 5.5 minutes to go in the period, 2-1 Newcastle North Stars. And then with a second to go in the period, Brian Bale scored his second goal for the North Stars, making it 3-1 North Stars at the end of the first. Shots on goal fairly even. Mustangs actually outshot the North Stars 11-10 there. And then in the second period, the North Stars opened the scoring again early in the second period. Jan Safar scoring first, followed by Jordy Woodrick to make the score 5-1 with 5.5 minutes to go in the period. And then newish Melbourne Mustangs imports Corey Banfield. I believe Corey rhymes with story and allegory and things like that. He scored to make it 5-2 in favour of the North Stars. And then another couple of goals to finish up the period late. Jordy Woodrick scoring again, and Pat Nadine. 7-2 North Stars at the end of the second. Shots on goal again favouring the Mustangs, 12-11. Even though the North Stars outscored the Mustangs 4-1 in that period. And then the goals continued to the North Stars, as you can imagine, with an 11-3 scoreline in the third period. Hamish Power got himself a goal for the North Stars with 15 minutes to go in the period, 8-2 North Stars, and then Matt Stringer picked himself up a goal, 8-3 to the North Stars. So Matt Stringer scored for the Mustangs, and then Jordy Woodrick scored again for the North Stars. That's his hat-trick as well. With 10:36 remaining, Luke Moffat getting himself on the scoreboard again at 4:28 to go 10-3, and then 11-3, rubbing the salt into the wounds, Jan Safar at 50 seconds remaining, 11-3. Shots on goal favouring the North Stars in that period, 17-10, and favouring the North Stars in total, 38-33. Now, during that game, guess how many penalties there were? Oh, wait. There was one penalty during that 50 minutes of hockey. Jason Chalker picked himself up an interference call with 6:57 remaining in the first period, and that was the only penalty, and the Mustangs converted that particular power play. The North Stars didn't have one, and so they couldn't convert. Needless to say, not a great day in for the Mustangs in net. Fraser Carson, needless to say, picked up the loss. He started saving 14 out of 21, and then young Jack Hayes came on for the third period. Good chance for him to get some experience, and he saved 13 out of 17. Not a good day for the goalies if you were a Mustang, of course. A little bit happier up the other end. Dane Davis played the first two periods, saving 21 out of 23. And then Josh Brakeman got himself some ice time for the third period, saving 9 out of 10 there. So a little bit of rotation there, and possibly also a bit of preservation. And, you know, Dane Davis has had a lot of work to do in terms of ice time, and so it was a good chance with the score nowhere near in doubt at that stage, and giving Brakeman some ice time there. So, needless to say, a bad result for the Mustangs. A few players out due to injuries and players with other commitments, but it was always going to be a dangerous game with the amount of firepower that the Newcastle North Stars have got. But as we'll talk about a little bit later, the Mustangs do have firepower of their own. Then, speaking of firepower and goals and lighting up goalies and everything like that, I want to talk about this game in some detail. I haven't seen it, but there's certainly a lot of goals. There's 18 goals, with the Adrenaline winning 11-7 over in Adelaide. In the first period alone, there were 5 goals to the Adrenaline, 2 to the Brave. And then in the second period, there were 5 goals to the Adrenaline, 1 to the Brave. And then, you know, it's fairly safe to assume that the Adrenaline took the foot off the pedal a little bit in the third period, and the Brave outscoring the Adrenaline 4-1 in the third period. But the damage was, needless to say, was already done with an 11-7 win. That's just a stupid margin for a hockey game. Needless to say, the Adrenaline dominated early with goals in the first period to Tyler Grave, Webb Kidarg, Josh Harding with a power play goal, Josh Harding with another one. 4-0 with 6:31 remaining in the first period. CBR Brave then got on the scoreboard with 6 minutes remaining. Ryan Johnson scoring, making it 4-1 Adrenaline. And then Webb Kidarg scoring again to make it 5-1. And then Scott Pitt scored for the Brave with 3:33 remaining in the first period to make it 5-2 Adelaide Adrenaline at the end of the first. Shots on goal favouring the Adrenaline 14-11, so not a lot of shots on goal, but a lot of shots being converted into goals, obviously 5-2 at the end of the first. And then, wow, lots more Adrenaline goals there, 5-1 in the second period. Goals to Joseph Rezik, a shorthanded goal to Jonathan Boxhill, a shorthanded goal to Tyler Grave, a power play goal to Josh Harding. Is that his hat-trick? Yes, it is. Webb Kidarg scored again. That's his hat-trick on a power play goal with 6:03 remaining. And then Harry Byers getting the solo goal for the Brave, making it 10-3 at the end of the second period. Shots on goal favouring the Adrenaline 11-6. And then in the third period, the Brave managed to find some net. Power play goal to Kelly Joffrey with 14:15 remaining in the third period. And then David Lewis a couple of minutes later, making the score 10-5. The last Adelaide goal was scored by Corey Heklover Does his name rhyme with allegory? 11-5, and then Tyler Kubara and Harry Byers picked up two goals to make the final score 11-7. The Brave out shooting the Adrenaline in that period 15-9. Total shots on goals favouring the Adrenaline 34-32. The Brave only converted 1 out of 6 of their power plays, and the Adrenaline converted 3 out of 5 of theirs. And there was a little bit of brouhaha and a bit of fracarring in the second period as well. Let me see, Harry Byers, Stephen Blunden, 4 minutes for roughing. And then in the third period, a few penalties there as well. A game misconduct, Andrew White from the Adrenaline. A game misconduct from Harry Byers from the Brave. David Dunwoody from the Brave. And so there was a lot of fighting there with 8 seconds to go. Fair bit of frustration, dare say. Charlie Smart picked himself up the W for the Adrenaline, saving 25 out of 32. Mind you, having said that, he did concede 7 goals himself. And then for the Brave, Aleksi Toivonen was on for the first period, saving 9 out of 14, and then Stuart Woodall picked up the rest, 14 out of 20 he saved. So not really a good afternoon for a goalie on either side. You know, picking up a win, having 7 shots go past you, not something that would normally happen. And as we'll hear a little bit later, the second game on the Sunday, was a very different story. And those Adelaide road trips are not necessarily easy at the best of times. Let's talk about Sunday in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
Our music for Hector the Penalty Box comes to you via the Zambonis, used with permission. Anywho, let's go on to Sunday's games for the 12th of July, and certainly a great difference between the Saturday and the Sunday in many cases. The Ice and the Thunder continued their series in Melbourne because the Mustangs were on the road. The Ice opened the scoring with another goal to Tommy Power, 6:22 in, 1-0 Ice, and then David Kudlar for the Thunder tied things up on with a power play goal, 16 seconds remaining in the first period, 1-1 at the end of the first, shots on goal favouring the Thunder, 14-12. One goal in the second period to the Ice, Matt Armstrong picked himself up a power play goal, shots at goal, the Ice, 8-6. Not a lot of shots on in the second period. And then in the third period, only one goal to the Thunder. Alex Hudson, he is a newish import for the Thunder, and he absolutely rocketed that trip home. Managed to see this game on Foxtel after it was the last-minute Fox Sports game of the week. Alex Hudson picked himself up a goal halfway through the third period, and it was 2-2 at the end of regulation. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder in the third period, 18-14, and in total, 38-34 in favour of the Thunder. The Thunder only converted 1 out of 8 out of their power plays, and the Ice converted 1 out of 3 of those, so a bit disturbing there for the Thunder. having 8 power plays and only scoring 1 goal from them. So we had a shootout at the end of regulation, and the Perth Thunder shooters, Tony Kluskeri, Luke Dagnall and David Kudla, all missed. And for the Melbourne Ice, Tommy Powell scored, Matt Armstrong and Mitch Humphries didn't. That gave the Ice the win in the shootout 3-2. So lots of feeling in this game, and the major one that you may have seen online was the fight between Liam Webster for the Ice and Alex Hudson from the Thunder. That basically started, and it continued for some time, and it looked like it was going to head towards the benches. The benches, who knows if they were going to get involved at one stage. That's one thing that is always a bit of a worry when the fights are near the bench. Are the people from the benches going to get involved or not? And so Liam Webster and Alex Hudson picking up misconducts for that and fighting penalties. Greg Storick got in with fighting as well. An interesting one was the 2-minute penalty for Mark Guggenberger for leaving the crease. He didn't leave the crease so much to get involved in the fight himself. He was getting involved to get his teammates to get involved, because Alex Hudson was getting absolutely pummeled by Greg Storick. And all of his teammates were just standing around, and so Guggenberger's tried to get up and tried to get some of them to, you know, get involved and help his teammate, and he received a 2-minute minor for leaving the crease as a result of that. He actually wasn't actually in the fight, so it wasn't a goalie fight, so to speak. But he ended up getting involved in that regard. And lots of penalty minutes there, looking in the net. Alex Leclerc picking up the win for the Ice again, 36 out of 38. And Guggenberger picked himself up not only the 2 minutes for leaving the crease, but he also picked himself up the loss, having saved 32 out of 34. So a very close game, very high quality game there, with a bit of extras thrown in, with some penalty minutes certainly being dished out there for fairly obvious reasons if you've seen it. Then we go to the second match in Adelaide between the Adrenaline and the Brave. Now, when you consider the score the previous day, 11-7 to the Adrenaline, this game was a lot closer and ended up going to a shootout. The Adrenaline scored twice in the first period, thanks to Remy McGuinness and Greg Oddie. 2-0 Adrenaline at the end of the first. Adrenaline winning shots on goal in that period, 12-6. In the third period, Webke Darg increased his tally again, making it 3-0 Adrenaline, and then 2 power play goals to the Braves saw out the period. Matt Harvey and Mark Ruumikainen, both of those guys got power play goals. 3-2 Adrenaline at the end of the second. Shots on goal favouring the Brave, 13-12. And then in the third period, it was, you get a goal, I get a goal, you get a goal, I get a goal. And let me see, Jordan Peddle scored first for the Brave to make it 3-3 in the second minute of the period. And then Corey Lecleva, he scored again for the Adrenaline to make it 4-3. Stephen Blunden tied up the score again, very close to the midpoint of the period, to make it 4-4. Greg Oddie scored again for the Adrenaline with 5 minutes remaining. And then a power play goal right at the end, a real buzzer beater from Matt Harvey. And the score was 5-5 at the end of regulation. Shots on goal favouring the Adrenaline there, 19-13 in that period. And in total, 43-32 to the Adrenaline. The Brave were good on the power play that day. 3 out of 4 power play goals, including the vital one, which sent it to a shootout. The Adrenaline failed to convert their only power play opportunity. And it was a tale of two teams in the shootout, with Kyle Marinari and Kelly Joffrey scoring for the Brave. Joseph Rezik and Tyler Grave didn't score for the Adrenaline. The Brave get the win 6-5 in the shootout. Not too many penalties in this one compared to the previous day. Interesting to see there that Greg Oddie picked himself up a 2-minute goalie interference call at 1:55. Now, hang on, did they? Yeah, maybe he said something from the bench, because there was a Greg Oddie goal at 5:16 to make it Adrenaline 5-4, and then right at the buzzer there was the power play goal to Matt Harvey. So Greg Oddie had a goalie interference call at 1:55, so that would have seen him out for the rest of regulation if things stayed the way they were. Corey Heklova, he went into the box with 48 seconds to go, so he would have been out for the shootout as well. And then, as time expired, Greg Oddie had a misconduct. So, I'm struggling to figure that one out, and I can't see any vision from that one. I'm struggling to figure that one out. Maybe he said something from the penalty box, who knows, and so he got himself a 10-minute misconduct for that. And that is quite possible. Maybe he was protesting something and doing it from the penalty box. The penalty box in Adelaide isn't in a glass enclosure like it is in Melbourne. So it's quite clear that a player could be heard. He only has to yell through the netting, so it's quite possible that a player would be quite audible compared to somewhere like Melbourne or Newcastle, or Perth for that matter. Oleski Toivonen picked himself up the win, saving 38 out of 43. That would have been good for his confidence compared to the previous day. Charlie Smart again in goal, saving 27 out of 32 as he picked himself up the loss there. Then we go to Liverpool, and I was there watching the Mustangs play the Sydney Ice Dogs. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, the Bears having the weekend off, finally. The Mustangs opened the scoring with a goal to Brendan McDowell very early on in the first period, and then a shorthanded goal to Pat O'Kane to see out the period there. 2-0 Mustangs at the end of the first, and leading shots on goal 10-6. Interesting incident in that first period, with two players being ejected. Michael McDowell from the Mustangs and Adam Kimberley from the Ice Dogs. Kimberley from the Ice Dogs definitely the aggressor on that one, but both players were tossed for that one. I'm not exactly sure how they came to the conclusion that he was given a 5-minute roughing penalty for Michael McDowell, and Kimberley, who started the whole thing, only got a 2-minute slashing call in conjunction with his game misconduct. But that's what happened. So those guys were out of the picture. The second period, it was all Mustangs with another shorthanded goal to Pat O'Kane very early on. Corey Banfield opened the Corey hotline at 9:45. See, I do pay attention to Power Week. Vladim Vizhichov, that name again, scoring for the Mustangs, making it 5-0. With 8 minutes to go in the period, Pat O'Kane shortly after that for his hat-trick, 6-0. And then Brendan McDowell making it 7-0, his second goal for the afternoon. And then Andrew Bellick making it 8-0 with 2:46 remaining in the period. So Mustangs scoring 6 goals in that period, and there were other goals that they could have got at that stage as well. And then in the third period, Pat O'Kane picks himself up what I'm calling his pants trick. The Puck podcast from America calls it a pants trick. I saw the Melbourne Ice describe a four-goal game as a Texas hat trick, which I hadn't heard of before, but I have learned that that's a thing. Thank you, Amy, for that one. I didn't know that was a thing, but it is. Apparently everything's bigger in Texas, so does that mean that Pat O'Kane gets himself a big cowboy hat? Who knows? So that was 9-0 at that stage, and then about a minute and a half later, or not even that really, 30 seconds later, me do math. Matt Stringer scored, making it 10-0. And then Jackson Knott from the Ice Dogs getting the Ice Dogs on the board. And 10-1 at that stage, fairly academic, needless to say, at that point. Shots on goal favouring the Mustangs well and truly, 46-18. The Mustangs shooting 10 shots in the first period, 13 in the second, and 23 in the third. The Ice Dogs didn't get a lot of things. They didn't get in double figures for shots on goal for any of the periods, 6, 4, and 8 there. The Mustangs only converted 1 out of 6 of their power plays, but then again, if you win 10-1, and the Ice Dogs didn't convert any of their power plays. Fraser Carson picked up the win, saving all 10 of his shots. Didn't have a lot of work to do, Fraser Carson. Jack Hayes was put on for the third period to give him a bit of ice time. He conceded the only goal. And for the Ice Dogs, Jake Burgess started, which was an interesting one for me, having seen that the previous week against the Bears, he had 10 goals scored on him. Matt Grogan was at the game and was available and did back up, whereas that wasn't the case at the Bears game previously. And so they did have the option to start Grogan first, however they didn't. Burgess saved 12 out of 18 when he was pulled after 22 and a half minutes. Matt Grogan came on for the rest, saving 24 out of 28, but Burgess picks up the loss there, and a difficult day in the office for both guys, obviously, and great for the Mustangs, you know, on the road, absolutely getting smashed the day before, you know, players out and everything, and then coming back. Yes, they were playing the Ice Dogs, but you still have to score, and you still have to keep the Ice Dogs out of it, and that's exactly what they did. And so that is that long weekend, and then we'll move on in a moment to last weekend, where there were only 3 games.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
Now we'll continue to last weekend's games, and this one was an interesting week for me because I was ill and didn't know if I was going to be 100% to make the trip to Canberra, but I did. And then on the Thursday night before the game, there was massive snowfalls in the Southern Highlands area, and people didn't know if that was going to continue into Friday and then into Saturday and make things difficult. But fortunately, the snow mostly melted, and apart from a couple of accidents on the way down, people were able to get to the game, the third game between the Bears and the Brave down in Canberra for this year. The Brave totally dominated this game. I was at this game. The Brave totally dominated. One thing that we should note before this game, in the middle of the week, Brad Hunt was replaced as the CBR Brave coach, and Josh Eunice, who got himself injured a couple of weeks prior against Newcastle in Canberra, He is now the interim head coach of the CBR Brave, and so he necessarily won't be playing. He will be coaching, obviously, and to replace him, Aleksi Toivonen, and he will be the starting goalie for the CBR Brave, and the Brave were simply too fast for the Bears. That's all there is to it. The Brave scored a shorthanded goal 9 minutes to go in the period, make it 1-0, and then Matt Harvey scored another one to make it 2-0 Brave at the end of the first, shots on goal favouring the Brave 14-7. Two more goals to the Brave in the second period, Scott Pitt, and a power play goal to Stephen Blunden, making it 4-0 at this point. And then Aris Patelec, he made the score 4-1 with 74 seconds to go in the second period. And the shots on goal favoured the Brave 10-4 at that point. And two further goals to the Brave before the Bears got on the board again. Stephen Blunden scored himself a power play goal 5 minutes into the period. And then Scott Pitt picked up his hat-trick with 6:05 to go. That was a shorthanded goal. And then in the space of 12 seconds, Lee Turner scored himself two goals to give the score a bit of respectability. Final score there, 6-3 CBR Brave. The Bears actually outshot the Brave in the third period, 14-13, but the Brave were too good and shot too often, 37-25. The Bears didn't convert any of their five power plays, and the Brave converted two out of six out of theirs. Lee Turner and Cameron Todd returned for the Bears, coming back from the World Inline Championships. They basically flew straight to the game, and as I mentioned, Lee Turner scoring himself two goals. A few misconduct penalties in this one. Joe Harcherick, he picked himself up a 2 minute checking from behind penalty, which gave himself an automatic 10 minute misconduct 2 minutes into the game. And having seen the replay, that one was rather soft. Spencer Austin got a bit frustrated with the officials, earning himself a 10 minute misconduct in the second period. And then there was another check from behind. Mark Ruumikainen checked a player from behind, and that gave him the 2 minute minor and the automatic 10 minute misconduct. And Camille Urina, he picked himself up a couple of penalties as well. There was a contentious one in the second period where he was sliding out, in my opinion, going for the puck, but in the process of that, tripped over a Brave player. That call could have went either way. 2 minutes there. And then there was an interesting one in the third period with 3 minutes 12 remaining, where he came well and truly out of his crease. And if you've listened to me on Bears Hockey Radio, you'll know the palpitations I get when Camille comes well and truly out of his net. He got the puck away from his paddle, which was fine, and then he was on his way back, and the puck came in his direction, and he grabbed it, and it was well and truly outside the area where he can grab the puck. And so 2 minute delay of game for that one. In case you're not aware, in those situations the goalie actually does go to the penalty box, but somebody goes on his behalf. And so that was that one. Looking at the goalies, Aleksi Toivonen picked himself up the win, 22 out of 25, I should say. He was quite impressive. Camille Urina, he did his best, but still had 6 goals past him. You know, could have been a lot more. 37 shots faced, he saved 31 of them. And so it was a disappointing game for the Bears, which gave the Brave 4th spot for that one. Then we go down to Melbourne. The Ice Dogs travelled to Melbourne. They played the Mustangs on the Saturday and the Ice on the Sunday. Needless to say, it was all Melbourne teams on this particular occasion. In the first period, goals to Joey Hughes, Corey Banfield and Victor Gibbs-Shedin, with no hyphen, making it 3-0 at the end of the first, shots on goal favouring the Mustangs 9-5. Not a lot of shooting in that first period. And then in the second period, Joey Hughes picked himself up a power play goal in the first minute of the period, and then Pat O'Kane a shorthanded goal to make it 5-0 Mustangs at the end of the second. So sort of repeating a power play goal and a shorthanded goal in the first and second periods. Shots on goal favouring the Mustangs 13-8. And then in the third period just exploded for more than one reason. Vladimir Vizhichov, he scored himself a power play goal 15 seconds into the period, making it 6-1 Mustangs. And then Daniel Pataki got himself on the scoreboard for the Ice Dogs a few seconds later, making it 6-1. Pat O'Kane, he picked himself up. Is that his hat-trick at that point? No, it's not his hat-trick. He's got two goals at that point. 3 minutes into the period, making it 7-1 Mustangs. And then about a minute later, Kevin Harvey scored for the Sydney Ice Dogs, and making it 7-2. And then the last goal was a power play goal to Corey Banfield. Corey rhymes with story, rhymes with power play goal. No, it doesn't. 8-2 Mustangs. Shots on goal favouring the Mustangs there. 18-11. In total, 40 shots to 24. Needless to say, you've probably seen the footage on YouTube by now. There was a huge fight between Kevin Harvey for the Ice Dogs and Victor Gibbs-Shedin from the Melbourne Mustangs. Victor was a very unwilling participant to start off with, but he soon got into it, and that footage has gone all around the world. Kevin Harvey picking himself up a match penalty for that one, and Victor Gibbs-Shedin a game misconduct. Players were also involved from the benches, including Fraser Carson, who wasn't even on the ice at that point, but he's got himself involved in it as well, so he gets himself a 10-minute misconduct for that. The whole thing basically started after a Jack McCoy checking from behind penalty, and then things were said after that, and it just exploded. Needless to say, you've probably seen the footage on YouTube by now. But yeah, it was a humdinger. Looking at the goalie situation, Jake Burgess was always going to have a difficult afternoon, especially with no backup. Matt Grogan's actually left the country, and so Jake Burgess in goal with no backup, saving 32 out of 40. And for the Mustangs, Fraser Carson picked himself up the win, saving all five shots. At the time that he was replaced by Jack Hayes, he got some serious ice time, which is good for the young guy. 40 minutes 55, and he saved 17 out of 19 and looked pretty good doing it. Another interesting situation, apart from the fact that they had a very short bench, and one of their guys decided to wear one sock from this year and one sock from last year, and the stripes are different. Mario Passarelli, is there anything he can't do? I started the hashtag Passarelli watch on Twitter earlier on in the year when he was playing for the Bears after he was playing goalie and then he skated. Then he went to the Ice Dogs and became the Ice Dogs coach. And then he played both games on the weekend as a player for the Ice Dogs. Wasn't necessarily listed as the coach on the game sheet, so he basically played. But all I'm waiting for, and this could be highly possible, because Jake Burgess for the moment doesn't have a backup with Matt Grogan leaving, it is quite possible, and I have predicted this, and remember where you heard the prediction first, via me on Twitter, Don't be surprised if Mario Passarelli suits up in goal for the Ice Dogs at some stage before the end of the season. Just remember where you heard that. You didn't hear it on the live stream with ATC, you heard it from me on Twitter. And me now. And so, yeah, it's quite possible. And, you know, he's got the skill to do it, Mario. And he's done it for the Bears before, and he's played for the Ice Dogs. And, you know, if the situation presents itself... especially not carrying a dressed backup, it can certainly happen. And you know, Jake Burgess is only a young bloke. He's getting lit up well and truly, and so it might come to the point where Mario Passarelli gets in the net again. That is quite possible. Another season ender for the Ice Dogs. Strad Allen had a knee injury, so he's gone for the season as well, which was disappointing for him because he was one of the good Ice Dogs imports, and not a good season for him as part of that team. But he had some good results and goal scoring and all that sort of thing for him. So bit of a disappointment for him. So that's the Saturday game between the Mustangs and the Ice Dogs, and certainly a good boost for the Mustangs. And as I said earlier, they still had to turn up and they still had to play, and the goalie still had to keep the puck out of the net, and that's good for the Mustangs. And then we have a look at the final game of the weekend between the Ice and the Ice Dogs, and needless to say, it was all Ice. All Melbourne Ice, 9-0. Not a lot you can say about the Ice Dogs on that occasion. A bit of fighting, a bit of checking from behind, some misconducts left a short Ice Dogs bench even shorter. Lots of misconducts and that sort of stuff, and a bit of frustration as well. It was only 2-0 at the end of the first period, though, with goals to Paul Casebro and Tommy Powell, making it 2-0 Melbourne Ice at the end of the first. The Ice outshot the Ice Dogs 10-5 in the second period. A power play goal and a goal to Tommy Powell. So that was his hat trick, and also a natural hat trick because nobody scored in between his three goals. So that becomes a natural hat trick. Shots on goal favouring the Ice 12-9. And then in the third period, goals to Tim Johansson, Austin McKenzie, power play goals to Liam Webster and Tommy Powell. That brings up his pants trick or his Texas hat trick, depending on what you want to call it. And Jack Carpenter scored at the end to make it 9-0. And shots on goal favouring the Ice 21-4 and 43-18 in total. The Ice Dogs, needless to say, they didn't get on the board. They didn't convert any of their 7 power plays, and the Ice only converted 3 out of 9 of those. The Ice did what they had to do to get the job done, but it wasn't a spectacular game. Jake Burgess again having an afternoon in goal that he wouldn't want to remember, saving 34 out of 43. JPM probably the easiest shutout that he'll ever get, saving all 18 shots of him. And that was the game, 9-0 to the Ice. And what I might talk about the Melbourne Ice Melbourne Mustangs derby next week, and that will carry on with the games from this week. But as I mentioned earlier, the Mustangs won in a shootout 6-5. And so I managed to see that game on the live stream as well. So, yeah, good result for the Mustangs. You know, it's always good to beat your opposition and your arch rival, your nemesis, on the other side of town. That's always good. So let's have a look. Again, I'll remind you of the competition ladder before we go. The Ice are on 43, the North Stars are on 42, the Thunder are on 37, the Brave are on 33, the Adrenaline are on 32, The Bears are on 30, the Mustangs are on 24, and the Ice Dogs are on 2. Having a look at the games, we've already had this weekend the Mustangs beating the Ice 6-5 in the shootout at the Ice House. And then the North Stars head to Melbourne. They play the Mustangs on Saturday and they play the Ice on Sunday. The Ice Dogs head to Perth Thunder at the Thunderdome on Saturday and Sunday. And the Bears host the Brave on Saturday as well. That's the final game of their series and the only time that Canberra will be at the Bears for this year as they battle fourth spot. Adelaide again are idle. As my commentator Julian would say from Bears Hockey Radio, the adrenaline are idle, and that's the second weekend in a row. Should mention Bears Hockey Radio just before I go. Julian's out of town on assignment in Melbourne, and also my other commentator Nick, he's on assignment as well. And so it's all down to me and whoever I can drag in at the Bears Den. I'm not a play-by-play commentator, I know that, but I'll be keeping you up to date with what is going on between the Mustangs and the North Stars, and of course the game that I'm at, and also the Ice Dogs and the Thunder. It'll be a good chance for people to get down and me to talk to some people and find out what they like about hockey and talk some hockey, which is always good. Had Statsman on recently, which was great. And so looking forward to hearing from some fans as well. And I know there's a lot of CBR Brave supporters coming up, so that will be good for them. So that is a massive, massive weekend coming up. And then we have the August 1st and 2nd. The Bears get another weekend off. That's good. No, we don't. We play the North Stars on the Saturday. I thought we had another weekend off, but we don't. So, Saturday 1st, 2nd of August, 8th, 9th of August, 15th, 16th of August, the 22nd, the 23rd of August, and that's it for the regular season. And then we have the semi-finals and the grand final, the 29th and 30th of August. Tickets still available. Go to the league's website for more information about that. Anywho, I've been Eric. You've been wonderful. Don't forget to keep your stick on the ice and keep out of the penalty box. Keep yourself off YouTube. And I'll see you next week. Good night, Interweb. Thanks for listening.
Get on the train. It takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
Get on the train. It takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while. Get on the train, it takes me away. I'm coming back to you in style. It's an away game, it's an away game. It's an away game, another away game.
I'm coming home soon. Don't you worry, it'll be alright, 'cause we've got four home games in a row, starting Thursday night, together again, just me and you, no more away games. Just us two, just us two, just us two.
just us two, just us two.